Welcome to the May 2014 podcast for Neurosurgical Focus. I'm Natalie Pincham. The May issue is on the topic of adult spinal deformity, pathophysiology, and corrective measures. In this podcast, topic editor Dr. Adam Kanter of the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center speaks with Dr. Kai-Ming Fu of Weill Cornell Medical College, New York, New York. They discuss Dr. Fu and colleagues' article, The Minimally Invasive Spinal Deformity Surgery Algorithm, a reproducible, rational framework for decision-making in minimally invasive spinal deformity surgery.
My name is Adam Kanter. I'm a neurosurgeon at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, and I'm talking with Kai-Ming Fu. He is the primary author of a new algorithm that has been presented to us at the Neurosurgical Focus. The title of the paper is Minimally Invasive Spinal Deformity Algorithm, which is a reproducible, rational framework for decision-making in minimally invasive spinal deformity surgery. And I'd like to start by asking Dr. Fu, could you please discuss the impetus behind formulating this algorithm? For example, the different types of deformities and how they cannot all be treated similarly. If you could please do that.
Thank you, Dr. Kanter. I think in terms of adult deformity, there's been an increasing awareness of the prevalence of this disease in the aging population that we have in the United States and actually across the world. And this has resulted in an increased recognition of deformity when people are treating degenerative diseases. And not all of these deformities are the same. Some range from asymptomatic, and some patients are completely disabled. And this doesn't always appear to correlate with radiological parameters. But those that are very severely disabled from their disease have significant benefit when they're treated surgically. And many studies have shown very great improvements in disability and in health function and quality of life after surgery. However, most of these surgeries are large scoliotic repairs or complete spinal reconstructions. And the complications and morbidity associated with these open procedures can be significant, with complication rates reported into the 70s and 80s% of all patients. And not all patients can tolerate these types of procedures. So a lot of people have looked for ways to improve treatment surgically for deformity in the adult population. And minimally invasive surgery is one of the ways that this can be offered. And it also allows for decreased morbidity, as well as offering surgery to some patients that may not be candidates. But that being said, there's been some concerns regarding minimally invasive surgery for deformity, with some people questioning whether or not you can get adequate correction, especially in the sagittal plane, and some people questioning whether or not there is appropriate treatment overall. And so therefore, patient selection, I think, is appropriate when considering minimally invasive surgery for adult scoliosis or deformity. And this algorithm was designed to give practitioner a very straightforward and rational way to incorporate all of our current knowledge of spinal deformity in planning whether or not a minimally invasive procedure is best procedure for a certain patient.
That's a great point. There's a lot of surgeons out there that are performing deformity surgery now purely because they're minimally invasive surgeons. They were trained in minimally invasive surgery, and now they're starting to expand their practice and perform several of these deformity operations, oftentimes not really having a true understanding of all the parameters, such as the spinal pelvic parameters, that come into play when considering whether or not surgery would be performed. So in some situations, maybe where a patient has a greater deformity that could be corrected, particularly in the sagittal plane per se, this algorithm really does help clue in some folks as to whether or not minimally invasive surgery is an appropriate option. With all that being said, could you now summarize for us the minimally invasive deformity algorithm? Briefly describe what MIS options exist within that algorithm.
This algorithm was designed by both minimally invasive surgeons as well as open deformity surgeons, and it was designed to take into account all of the aspects of deformity that we look at currently. And this includes the sagittal plane parameters as well as the pelvic parameters that are commonly viewed in open deformity surgery, and tries to apply them in a way that may be appropriate for MIS deformity surgery. Basically, one works down this algorithm, starting with sagittal plane parameters as well, going through coronal plane parameters, and then comes into one of three classes. Class one would be a purely MIS surgery with really kind of a focal surgery at one level or two levels to address a radiculopathy or perhaps a level of instability within a very minor deformity. And then class two would be a more significant deformity requiring more involved minimally invasive surgery with multiple perhaps inner bodies either through a minimally invasive TLIF or through a minimally invasive lateral procedure centered around the apex of a coronal curve. And this would be a more involved correction, and generally in a patient with not significant sagittal plane deformity, but maybe coronal plane deformity and significant radiculopathy and back pain. Finally, the class 3 patients that we discuss are patients with severe sagittal plane deformity, as well as potentially severe coronal deformity, and patients with rigid deformities that aren't flexible and would require a more open approach with the more aggressive osteotomies for proper correction.
That makes sense. So highlighting some of those key points within the algorithm, what would make the ideal candidate based upon this algorithm an MIS candidate? In other words, pelvic tilt, SVA, you know, looking at some of these parameters that you briefly mentioned, which patients do you think really belong in which category?
The main starting point we have is sagittal balance. And I think that there are many studies out there, beginning with the group from Louisville, that demonstrate that sagittal balance correlates with symptoms as well as outcomes. And so we look at sagittal balance as our initial starting point. So those patients with a balance that's considered normal, around 5, but specifically less than 6 centimeters, they are potentially considered candidates for minimally invasive surgery. And those that have a significantly positive sagittal balance, or greater than 6 centimeters, automatically are not considered for minimally invasive surgery. At that point, we then look at the spinopelvic parameters, and specifically we've looked at pelvic tilt, which seems to be the next most important parameter. And for those patients with a normal pelvic tilt less than 25, they can continue on down the minimally invasive consideration path. But if the pelvic tilt is greater, meaning that they may have an apparently normal sagittal balance, but this is due to compensation from their pelvis parameters, then they go automatically into the open procedure category, which is class 3. And then we continue through the pelvic parameters, including the lumbar lordosis compared to pelvic incidence mismatch. And if this is relatively equal, which means that the amount of lumbar lordosis is as expected due to a patient's set pelvic incidence, they then continue down the minimally invasive consideration pathway.
Tell me what you think. When I look at this algorithm, for example, if I look down and I see class 3 and I see open surgery with osteotomies and stuff, and there's lots of institutions where people can look at this and go, osteotomies, well, I can do that through a minimally invasive approach. Why do I have to follow this algorithm and end up over in class 3 doing open when it's saying that's because you need to do osteotomies? I feel like there are situations where you may be able to do certain osteotomies, especially at some of the major centers. And I'm not saying that this is meant for everyone across the board. Do you see this or any other pitfalls or holes within the algorithm itself that you think need to be expanded upon or can be further discussed?
This is a algorithm that was designed for a surgeon that may see spinal deformity in their practice and may consider a minimally invasive approach. This may be for a surgeon who does primarily minimally invasive, smaller degenerative procedures and is looking to expand their minimally invasive practice. This is a deformity algorithm which allows a surgeon to go through in a rational way, understanding what are important for the sagittal balance, what's important for the spinal pelvic parameters, and what's important for the coronal cob in deciding how they're going to progress towards making a decision about how to treat this patient or whether or not they should treat a patient MIS. MIS is ever-expanding and changing field with new technology, rapidly improving what can be done and what can be offered. And so this is really discussing the state of minimally invasive deformity at this time in general practice. There are going to be certain practitioners who are more advanced in minimally invasive who may feel that they can offer class 3 patients a minimally invasive option, but not all surgeons, I think, will be able to accomplish everything they want to accomplish on a class 3 patient with minimally invasive techniques that are currently employed. So I think that's one of the caveats, obviously, with this algorithm. And again, not all patients are going to fit into one of those three classes. Again, as we said, not all deformities are the same, and that doesn't mean that there's only three types of deformities. But what we've tried to come up with is a rational way for people to have the best outcome potentially possible using MIS by potentially avoiding applying techniques that are inappropriate to certain deformities.
Those are all great points. And as your paper illustrated, a large group of neurosurgeons that routinely perform deformity in their practice and include minimally invasive options, there was significant inter- and intra-observer agreement looking at these surgeons and what they felt was appropriate, which path to go down. So I think it's great that the algorithm itself has been validated in the way that it has, and I think it has a significant promise in allowing the surgeons that you described to incorporate spinal deformity surgery in a very logical fashion. So lastly, finishing up, where do you think that this takes us? What's next? Where can this algorithm lead us? And in regards to reproducibility at other centers, what do you think? If you can comment on that, please.
I think that what is next is really seeing how this algorithm plays out with outcomes. Our ultimate goal is to improve outcomes for spinal deformity patients. And if we can offer MIS procedures with less morbidity and achieve similar outcomes to open procedures, I think that will be a great benefit. And so if this algorithm allows us to apply minimally invasive techniques more broadly to a bigger class of spinal deformity patients, it may decrease that morbidity while also allowing us to recognize which patients have the best outcomes with an open procedure. So I think the next steps are to look at outcomes. Our group is initially going to look at retrospective outcomes, but prospectively we're going to apply this MISDEF algorithm going forward, and we hope to show that patients, when treated appropriately with these classes of operations, do better than perhaps when they are treated not according to the algorithm. And so I think that is one of the places where we can go next with demonstrating the validity of the algorithm and its potential benefit for the surgical community at large.
Those are all great points. You hit the nail on the head. It's all going to be about outcomes. Thanks so much for putting this together and for putting really together a fantastic paper that really helps a variety of surgeons incorporate this practice more safely into their own. We appreciate it as a community as a whole, and thanks so much.
Hi, thank you, Dr. Kanner.
Take care.
This concludes our podcast for the May issue of Neurosurgical Focus. Please join us for the June issue, when the topic will be Health Economic Analysis of Modern Spine Care. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. And for more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.